first fatal attack came in July 2014 while protesting against the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands. The second came in December 2015 during a religious event. One would think the Boko Haram terrorist group was behind them, but these were a pattern of the Nigerian army's attacks in Zaria. While the religious group attacked has indeed been attacked by Boko Haram as well regularly, many are asking nearly a week after its latest massacre, why is the Nigerian army also attacking them? Why are Boko Haram and the army working together to silence Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki? That and more in this debate. Let me now introduce our guests for this edition of the debate. We're joined by Mr. Masoud Shajare of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, who is joining us live from London. And we're also joined by Mr. Julius Mbaluto, who is a political analyst, and he is also joining us live from London. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us for this edition of the debate. Mr. Mbaluto, I'll start with you. 6 days since these Zaria killings by the army, how are you feeling about the fallout or lack of since? I mean, many would say because the targets weren't Westerners, for example, the uproar has been anything but.
Well, it's been very interesting to see how the Western media hasn't really put a lot of hype onto these killings in Africa, especially Nigeria. Recently, we saw the Nigerian President Buhari talking in Malta for the Commonwealth meeting when he was saying that about 10,000 people have been killed by Boko Haram. And, you know, this is the same time we saw less number of people die in Paris, and the whole world was with Paris. What about Africa? So those are few observations when I see the trend.
And Mr. Shajare, how do you feel about this 6 days after the event took place?
Well, it really is, I think when we look at the way that this thing whole was planned and pre-planned, it really sort of brings to mind that, you know, what sort of army is it that goes out and actually kills innocent unarmed people at will like this and then try to hide the crime by destroying the where it attacked and also burying people in mass graves. I mean, these are facts and reality. And why is that the international community is silenced? And what is the benefit to Nigerian government for committing this sort of massacre?
Mr. Mbaluto, I'm wondering, because in the first answer you mentioned Boko Haram, and certainly this is quite different from that, because, you know, if Boko Haram had attacked the Islamic movement of Nigeria, it would have been for obvious reasons, but no one's really understood why the Nigerian army would do so. Well, how do you see it?
When you talk about Nigeria and Boko Haram as well, and also this Islamic movement of Nigeria, it's very difficult to, you know, exactly pinpoint where. From the point of the government of Nigeria, you see the government of Nigeria has been trying to contain Boko Haram. But even while that was happening, you had a situation whereby under the Boko Haram umbrella, you saw attacks on mosques. So the attacks are not pretty new in terms of, you know, people have been killed. Quite a lot of people have been killed, you know. And that being the case, even right now, I want to understand why should at least, even if it's one person, die because of sectarian violence. And also targeting minority also. I don't think anyone should target anyone just because of the differences in their religion. And it's not right, because we have human rights have been also reporting this, saying people are being killed, but the government was always also kind of ignoring it. The West was always ignoring it. So I don't know. I think it's about time that the issue of Boko Haram really goes on the global scene, just like any other case.
Mr. Shachare, you know, when we talk about sectarianism, that's been something that a lot of people ever since the incident in Zaria happened, they've been trying to keep this incident within the prism of sectarianism. But in fact, and I just want to let our viewers know as well, and I'm sure you know this, that the Nigerian Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs, as well as the Christian Association, in fact, of Nigeria, have various degrees, of course, between them, have expressed unity, concern, and condolences. So why are we seeing this push towards sectarianism?
Well, that really is one of the purpose of this whole thing. Nigerian government Saudis, United States, and Israel want to divide the Muslim community. And Islamic movement, as its name goes, is not a Shia movement, it's the Islamic movement of Nigeria. It's supported tremendously by all sections of Nigerians. The reality is, the reason that the Nigerian government fears Islamic movement of Nigeria is exactly because it's actually popular with everyone, with the Christian community, with the Sunni community. When three children of Muallim were killed, I went to Nigeria and I was in Zaire. I was seeing every night people from all different backgrounds, people from the Sunni community, even Salafi community, Christian community, and priests and government officials were coming to give condolences. And they were seeing the Islamic movement as something, a breath of fresh air in Nigeria, when the government and the institutions are so corrupt and so much sort of arrogance and corruption is actually taking place. They saw what the movement is doing for the poor people, for the rich people, standing for justice against injustice. Even when his own children were slaughtered, he didn't promote violence. When they asked him, are you not going to sort of fight as Palestinian fight? He said, no, the most powerful weapon is the truth, and we are going to fight with the truth. And you know, that sort of brought him and gave him much bigger sort of popularity. And it's that reason that the Nigerian government and those outside, including the Zionists and the Saudis and Americans, they want to see end of him. We've seen the WikiLeaks documentation going between the diplomatic circles of Saudi Arabia, saying that him and his movement needs to be tackled and removed.
Mr. Ambaluto, I'm wondering, is the Nigerian army trying to create an atmosphere of sectarianism through attacking the likes of the Islamic movement in Nigeria?
I think that the approach from the Nigerian government is an approach of dealing with the so-called Islamists. You see, the problem we have with this trend in the world, I'm not using these terminologies because that's what I believe personally, but I'm using them because they're in the public domain. When we talk about Islamists, you ask yourself, who is Islamist? You know, and also when you talk about Boko Haram, whose agenda was to convert the northern part of Nigeria into an Islamic state? You also ask yourself, how linked are they to the normal Islam, which is about peace? And for someone who is not a Muslim, you see, it's not that clear. Even when you say the differences between Sunnis and Shia, you cannot choose a person walking on the street and say that is, you know, so and so. So I think from the standpoint of Nigerian government, they are trying to deal with the extremism, you know, that is coming from Boko Haram. But as to now that we have an addition of the Islamic movement of Nigeria, it kind of brings complexity to the equation. So I wouldn't see it as a point of targeting one individual. I'll see also an army which may be out of feeling challenged by the wave going around in the world of what we see ISIL do and all that. Probably the greatest fear is that they don't want to see the development and maybe coming together in a situation whereby they will have to be dealing with an ISIL situation like many other countries in the world. So that fear and the complications of these two movements, it makes it difficult for one to say, were they targeting just Shia, or were they just doing what they are supposed to do to deal with the extremism?
Mr. Mbaluso, if you allow me, I wanted to push you on that point because, as Mr. Shajare said in his previous answer, you know, Sheikh Zakzaki's movement has been a very peaceful movement. Even when his sons were killed last year, he did not call for vengeance or violence in response to that. And even this year, in fact, it's interesting, even though Sheikh Zakzaki is in detention at this point, his followers have not been violent either, calling for only peaceful demonstrations throughout the world and even in Nigeria. So how exactly are we then to compare, like, you know, Boko Haram, for example, and its violence, and this very peaceful Islamic movement in Nigeria?
I want to tell you something that we have lived through, especially when you look into East Africa, Kenya, and the situation of Al-Shabaab. Problem we had was most of the clerics, sometime, they were killed by Al-Shabaab. Why? Because they were seen as colluding with the government. So I'm not saying it's not peaceful. I'm not saying it stands for violence. What I'm saying is that the movement that he represents also has a challenge, an extra challenge for the Nigerian army, because Nigerian army has really for a long time, with the help of other countries, been dealing with Boko Haram. So who knows? Maybe even it was Boko Haram who killed him. I won't say per se that, you know, unless we have very concrete evidence to show there's targeting, then maybe it's a confusion of many things in a complicated situation.
Mr. Shajare, I wanted to ask you about, I just read this today, in fact, that the Islamic Movement of Nigeria has released five and very simple demands, so I just wanted to quickly, for the sake of our viewers, go over them with you. Number one, hand over Sheikh Zakzaki for medical care. Two, release arrested members. Three, stop the molestation of members. All corpses, of course, should be released for proper burial. Four, compensation for the lives lost as well as property damaged. And finally, investigation and prosecution of culprits involved in the killing of members. Now, none of this sounds like the demands of a violence group. How do you see this?
Absolutely. I mean, actually, if there is anyone is promoting and trying to actually deal with this crisis from a legality and a due process, is actually the Islamic movement. And when you look at the behavior of Boko Haram, I mean, Boko Haram is actually, I think, at least the Nigerian army sees it as a convenient, because what it does, it means that it will give them ability to become more powerful and more violent and actually give them more power to do what they do, which is go around killing people without any sort of return. And the reality is that when you look at the mass graves on one side of the army that actually killed innocent people and dumping them in these huge mass graves, and you look at on the other side what Boko Haram is doing, the reality is that Boko Haram and army have got a lot in common, and they actually benefit from one another. You know, a Nigerian army is hoping to get much more resources, finances, powers, legitimacy out of so-called fighting Boko Haram. And, you know, the reality is that, going back to your question, that the Islamic movement is the only one that actually talks about unity, talks about stopping injustice, talks about stopping corruption, and which benefits everyone. And indeed, this is why now they've got currently 15 million members and 5 million supporters, and day by day, those numbers increase.
Mr. Mbaluto, you know, I'm wondering, the narrative, of course, in the Nigerian media and the mainstream media has been one which is very negative towards the Islamic Movement of Nigeria, blaming it for this incident at this point. But regardless of the narrative one accepts about what happened in that incident, certainly, as Mr. Shajare there said, it is interesting that now we're seeing news about mass graves. Why would the Nigerian army try to cover up something if it is in the right?
I like the point you raised there, because I want to just remind you, even before anyone was to talk about Islamic Movement of Nigeria, we had a situation, the Chiboko girls kidnapped by Boko Haram. Boko Haram has killed as according to the president, 10,000 people, when he was desperately calling for the international community for the very first time to focus their attention on Nigeria, because about 150 people die in Paris, because it's West, the whole world rallies behind Paris, standing in solidarity. So when you see the desperation of him talking about what Boko Haram has done, I find it a bit, you know, difficult to accept the idea that Nigerian army can be seen as together with Boko Haram, because for years they've been fighting, calling for other countries, surrounding neighbors' country, to come and help, you know, contain the Boko Haram problem. I don't see a situation whereby government soldiers will work together with Boko Haram. What I see is a totally different picture. And this picture is like we have in Libya. This picture is about what Boko Haram actually represents, an agenda to convert many countries and many areas into Islamic states. Now that when you put that narrative is there, it's in public domain, it's not my narrative. But if it's there, then you see anything that comes out and there's no full understanding, there will be hesitation to accept it.
Mr. Shajoy, go ahead.
Look, I really think that is really a very sort of twisted sort of logic. The reality is that Boko Haram doesn't ask for Islamic State. If you think that what Boko Haram is asking for is any resemblance of what most Muslims, overwhelming 99.9% of Muslims believe what Islamic State is, then you really are confused about the concept of Islamic State. This is actually a thing that was created out of the policies of the West in Islamic State and Boko Haram and everything else. It really has got no legitimacy within Islam. So to actually say that, you know, this is Islamic, they're asking for Islamic State, so Nigerian government needs to organize itself and fight anything that's called Islam in the title, it really is a fallacy that I find it extremely offensive. But the reality is that the Boko Haram and the government are benefiting from this. The reality is that the brutality that is unleashed, and it's not just me saying 1,000 innocent people have been killed. The Commission of Human Rights, Nigerian Commission of Human Rights, also has given the figure of 1,000. Now, what and how people are going to believe the truth of what is happening? There are pictures of mass graves. There are pictures of abuses for 28 hours. This army was shooting people. It's killed 1,000 people. It's obvious. It's, you know, if there is anybody in doubt, give us authority to go to Nigeria. We will go and we will show where exactly the mass graves are. Let us dig it out. Let us expose what this army has done. Let us not try to cover the atrocity which has been committed in the name that these people are just fighting Boko Haram. And they're, you know, they're, therefore, anyone who's called Islam or Muslim needs to be targeted in the same way. This is absurd.
Mr. Ambaluto, I'm wondering at this point, the call for an independent investigation is one which seems very, very reasonable at this point, considering the scale of what has occurred in Zaria. How do you feel about that?
One thing, because I don't want to be misunderstood, is the fact that I do not condone any targeting, killing. And also, I want also to make it very clear. When I'm talking about Islamic movement of Nigeria or Boko Haram, I'm not talking about Islam. I'm keeping it out of the equation because it represents many different things. But for me to mention Boko Haram and what they want, their agenda, which has been in the public domain, I was saying what their hope is. But me and you know what they represent is not Islam. So I was just telling you, you stand there as a Nigerian government, Nigerian soldiers. If your hope is to fight Boko Haram, remember that all these people are Nigerians. They look the same. How do you tell who is Boko Haram, who is Islamic you know, movement for Nigeria. How
so,
do you
so
tell
go on,
who
shoot
is
everybody.
A Muslim?
Are you suggesting that
no, you are not supposed to shoot anyone.
You are supposed
to protect lives.
Well,
I'm not saying
right,
shoot
exactly.
anyone. No,
I think you have to acknowledge. You have to acknowledge that even fighting Boko Haram,
killings.
It has to be in due process. It cannot be on
exactly.
a basis that the army is given carte blanche ability to just go and commit atrocities.
Okay, gentlemen, I do apologize for stopping you there. We'll have to leave it there for now. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this edition of the debate. That was Mr. Masoud Shajere of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, who'd been speaking to us live from London. And we were also joined Mr. Julius Ambaluto, a political analyst, who'd been speaking to us live from London as well. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.